We've been speaking about the process of sanctification in Ephesians 4 and verses 20 to 24. Now, when we speak of the process of sanctification, we're talking about here this practical change that takes place in the Christian life as we live for God, as we spend time in His Word, as we reject sin, as we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Himself. In fact, in verse 20, it says, you did not so learn Christ, or you didn't so become disciples of Christ. And a disciple is someone who is becoming like his master, who wants to become like his master, who's concerned to live the way his master would live. And this was, of course, is what the disciples did when Jesus was here. They followed him, they listened to his teaching, and really what they were saying is, we want to become like you, Jesus. We want to live more and more like you. We want our lives to be replicas of yours. And Paul, of course, says this when he says, imitate me, or as another translation puts it, be a follower of me, even as I am of Christ. Be like me, Paul says, insofar as I am like Christ, because this is the goal of the Christian life, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus himself. And this is a process that goes on. We have to be realistic here. The old nature, the old self is there. It has to be rejected. It has to be put away. It has to be taken off like you would take off an old dirty pair of coveralls or overalls. And you have to put on the new life. You have to encourage the new life. You have to read the Word. You have to spend time in prayer. Let me encourage you. If you are a Christian and you aren't reading the Word and praying every day to get into that habit, spend at least 15 minutes. Surely you can spare that much time. Spend a good 5 minutes of it reading the Word. Spend 5 minutes of it thinking about it. And then spend another 5 minutes in prayer. And if you do that regularly as a part of your life, you'll be growing. If you have more time, great, spend more time. But at least put aside some time every day. Let me encourage you to memorize Scripture, too, as you're going through, and there are these verses that mean so much to you. Memorize them. Put them down on a card and carry them in your pocket and go over that verse, and you'll find this will be of great strength to you in your life as a Christian. It'll be a very strengthening part of it. Now, we begin with Ephesians 4:25. He says, wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that has need. Very practical things, aren't they? He says, first of all, let's be honest and truthful, absolutely truthful in dealing with one another. Put away falsehood. Remember, the ninth commandment says, thou shalt bear no false witness. And truth, honesty, is something that is very important. Not something that is set great store by today. Honesty used to be valued. You would make a business deal with a man, you'd look him in the eye, you'd agree to do it, you'd shake hands with him, and this was adequate in many of the dealings in the business world years ago. But today, you have to have, of course, a very elaborate written contract. You want to be sure and read the fine print at the bottom, and even then, you're not sure but what you're getting taken. A lack of honesty, a lack of truthfulness, a lack of keeping your word. We had a strike amongst government employees. Now, government employees in the United States sign a pledge, a promise, that they will not strike because of these various government services that are necessary to the functioning of our country. It just is imperative that these services go on day by day and not be paralyzed by striking workers. But thousands of men and women chose to turn their back on their word, chose to ignore the word, chose to say, I don't care what I put down or I don't care what I promised, I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to do what I want to do. He says here, if you're a Christian, be honest, be truthful, speak the truth. And in connection with a Christian fellowship, he says, be sure to do that. It's possible for us to fall into ways of doing things that are not open and honest and truthful, even with Christians. 1 John 1:9 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light. And I like that expression. There's an openness here. Doesn't say there's sinlessness. But the picture is that of one who's not covering, who's not hiding anything. He's just open. He's transparent. And we should be that with our brothers and sisters in our church fellowship. There ought to be this openness, this honesty, this genuineness. How sad, you see, when they're comes gossip, when slander begins, when stories are passed around, and these things have a way of growing. And he pleads with Christians here, and he says, look, whatever you do, don't fall into that kind of conduct. He says, we are members one of another. We are part of the same body. And it's impossible, for example, as I think of my body, as I look at my hands, I look at my fingers, I think of the different parts, the different members of my body. It's impossible for me to conceive any one part of this body deceiving the rest. My body is very honest with itself. If my finger gets burned, the nerves send that message immediately to the brain. You're being burned. Pull that finger away. There's honesty in my body because there's a concern, there's a care. All the parts of my body work together to preserve and to encourage health and well-being. And he says to us as Christians, in your fellowship, guard this attitude. Be open, be honest, be truthful. Remember, we are members one of another. Then he goes on to say, watch anger. Be angry, but sin not. Now, he doesn't say never be angry. There is a place for anger. Jesus was angry at times. It says at times he looked around at the crowd and because of their unbelief or their hypocrisy. There were some of the rulers. He was angry. Angry. When they were watching him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. He was angry because of their hardness and their legalism, their dead religion. He says he was angry. He went into the temple and he saw people there selling, buying. He became angry, very angry. Now, it was a controlled anger, but it was anger. Made a whip. And he went through that temple courtyard in anger, knocking over tables, whipping the money changers, driving them out, driving the people before him because he was angry at what they were doing. So there are times when it's good to be angry. And let me suggest it's good to be angry because of sin. We become indifferent to sin too often. We become careless with regard to sin. Sin doesn't bother us the way it should many times. You may hear foul language. You may hear cursing so much that it doesn't even bother you anymore. You don't even hear it. You hear smutty stories. We get used to seeing sin and it doesn't bother us. We should be angry when we see what sin does. We ought to be indignant. We ought to be concerned. We ought to express our disapproval of that which is wrong. Be angry, he says, but watch out, don't sin. Now, many times we find that, of course, we're not angry over the things we should be, and we get angry over things that we shouldn't. Many times the things we get angry about are personal hurts. Maybe our pride is offended. Something's been done to us. We haven't been noticed the way we feel we should. We haven't been called on. There hasn't been the recognition given that we feel we deserve. One way or another, we feel hurt. We feel slighted. And then we nurse that thing. We nurse that anger, and it becomes bitter. And this is why I think he says, let not the sun go down upon the wrath, your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. In other words, he says here, don't nurse your anger. Even if it starts out, maybe you were angry about something and you had a right to be, it was wrong. Don't carry that thing over. Don't do that in your marriage. So maybe your wife did something wrong, or your husband. He or she is not sinless. You're angry. Well, you may express that anger, but you better not carry it over to the next day. Because if you carry that anger and you nurse it and you keep going back, and this is where problems really come up in human relationships, we go back and we think about, well, I remember what he did, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago. I knew of a Christian who held grudges against another Christian for about 7 years. And he kept a list of all the things that man had done for 7 years that irked him, made him unhappy. And you know, at the end of that time, he was as bitter as vinegar. He was ugly. He was full of bitterness, sour. And the scripture warns us here. And if you have a problem in this area, maybe there's some bitterness in your heart, you better take care of it.